Glory to God. I'm excited about Jesus. Yeah. We can do better than that, can't we? We're excited about Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we small churches like us, and we're above average as far as a small church. The average one is about 35 people. But, you know, God is moving through the small churches today on an unbelievable thing. And if you're a young person here, too, don't be weary. You come. You'll have fun. You'll learn. You'll build relationships and everything. And you'll find out that the presence of God shows up because we direct people to Jesus. We direct our young people to Jesus. We understand they're under attack in this old world right now. The enemy is trying to deceive them with a lot of junk about transgenderism and all the homosexuality, and all this stuff is coming against them right in their schools. Well, we're coming against it in the name of Jesus. And we need our young people to be exposed to the Bible, be exposed to the Word of God, and watch God do a work in their life. Because should Jesus tarry, these young people that come into the church are the future generation, and the enemy is trying to steal them away, but we will keep them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So bring your young people to church, even if they say, I don't want to go, bring them anyway. Doesn't make any difference what they think if you're paying the rent. And when my daughter was growing up, there's times she didn't want to go. She wanted to stay home and watch Frosty the Snowman and things. I said, nope, we're going to church. And she sat in the church in the sanctuary and heard the Word of God. And that was her life growing up, and fought against it several times, even a few times as a teenager. But since I was still paying the rent, she had to come. She is under my roof. So, and God took care of her. She loved Jesus, served Jesus. It isn't because of me, it's because of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We need God back in the homes. We need God back in the schools. We need God back in the government. We need God back in churches like never before. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I do want to encourage you, whenever you do anything for the Lord honors that. He sees it. And you should do it because you love Him.
Amen.
That's why I do it. Not everything is going to turn out the way you'd like. Not everything is going to be perfect. It never will be on this side of heaven. But I do it anyway. I obey the Lord. I go forward. And that's what we do. You know, we honor Him. He's here right now.
Amen.
His Holy Spirit's here. He's here. He was when you walked in, if you're born again. If you're not born again, then you're being exposed to the Holy Spirit today. But we welcome the Holy Spirit here, and I thank the Lord for what He's going to do in spite, despite, or whatever you want, a word you want to use for me, as I preach the Word of God. Let it be a challenge to you, because everything, even if you don't get it, you say, well, that doesn't really affect me today. It might not today, but it might tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
I learned that as when I became a Christian at 21 years old, too, that just because a message from the pastor didn't quite agree with me, I still sat there and listened to it because I knew one day it would. And after these years now, it comes true. The thing that a pastor preached many years ago is coming back to my mind by the Holy Spirit, realizing how important that message you gave at that time. Amen?
Yeah.
So I tell you what, while you're sitting here, be in a spirit of expectation.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
Be in a spirit of expectation. God is here. If you're watching by Facebook, you're by yourself in your home, be in a spirit of expectation. Our God is on the move.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Don't be dismayed. We wish you were here. If you can't ever make it, come and see us. But if this is the only way you can do, if you're homebound, you can't get out of your home, God is in your home as much as He is here.
Yes.
And you're part of the body of Christ, and we love the family of God. Praise the Lord. So, My message today is hungering for the presence of God.
Yes.
Hungering for the presence of God. We need to hunger for the presence of God. I started out a little earlier in my prayer here, but I felt led to do that. But we need the presence of God today, people. And you know, God's not welcome in every church. The Holy Spirit's not welcome. how that must grieve the Lord today in churches where the pastor or the leadership is asking people not to speak in tongues, not to pray for people with the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. But we need the presence of God.
Amen.
We're seeing the results of kicking God even out of churches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We see it because when we see people coming into churches like the one in Missouri that was just on the news worldwide about bringing in a guy, whatever, pole dancing to show men how to become stronger. You don't do that. I know how to make a man become stronger in the things of God, get him in the Word of God and help him obey God and do what God says, and he'll be a strong man. He'll be a strong servant leader within his home, within his community, within his job. And it isn't about how many muscles you get. It's about your life and how you treat people and how you live your life. Amen? So we're hungering for the presence of God, and we need the Lord here. Is the presence of the Holy Spirit welcome here today?
Yes.
Okay, we need to hear that. The people on Facebook need to hear that. The Holy Spirit's welcome here. However the Holy Spirit wants to move on the young people, on the older people, whatever, the middle-aged people. We want to get them all in there, don't we?
Yes.
He's here. His angels are here. His word is here. And you're here.
Yeah.
Perfect. So now I'm going to go forward. Here's some quotes on the presence of God. A.W. Tozer writes, "The world is perishing for the lack of the knowledge of God, and the church is famishing for what? Want of his presence." And that's true. The church is weak today. They're going different directions, and they need the presence of God. We need the presence of God at Crossfire Assembly more and more.
Amen.
I've been sensing that the last few weeks, months, that we need the power of God to begin. And I believe we are on the verge of seeing God do it. I believe Jesus is on the way, that he's coming soon. I have no date, would never set a date. But I believe the signs of the time are here as we watch what's happening in Israel. Keep your eye on Israel. That's God's timepiece. He told us to be aware, to look at it. And that's why next week when John Rosenstern here, if you can be here, be here. This man has got firsthand information on what's happening over in the Middle East, and you and I, as the church, the body of Christ, need to be aware of it. We need to know what's going on in our world. This man has been around, he knows his stuff, and he's going to share with us. Plus, he'll have a word from the Lord for us also. But I encourage you, be here if you can. And like Amy said, we have had several people contacting us that are planning on being here from all around Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, different states that are finding it out. It's on SBN. They announce it every day now. Plus, it's in their magazine that just come out. And we're not doing that. I just want people to know, whether you're listening or in here today, I didn't invite him just so that we can think we're going to get a bigger church.
No.
That had nothing to do with it. I'm not into the numbers game. I'm content whether we got a small church or a big church. And this is where God's at. He's in multitudes of small churches this morning. And I invited that man because you and I many times don't have access to have these types of speakers come in. And he was willing to do it. Very humble man. Looking forward to come here and give a word. So thank the Lord, but please be here if you can. We need you to be here to show him support, that he didn't fly all the way from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, just to see himself up here. Praise the Lord. So Vance Havner once said, "Nothing is scarier today in churches than the absence of the presence of God."
That's right.
I say amen to that.
Yeah.
It's scary in here sometimes. You should come up here and try it. It gets scary. I need the presence of God.
Amen.
We need to diligently be praying for the presence of God. And I'm going to use that word presence of God a lot. So get used to it. Amen. We're leaky vessels. We forget.
Yeah.
We walk out that church, jump in our cars and go do whatever we do. And what did the preacher preach on today? I preached on the presence of God. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to keep that in your hearts, because I'm looking for a great move of God, not only in this church, but any church in our nation right now. I want to see revival in America.
Yes.
I want to see revival in my home.
Yes.
Do you in your homes?
Yes.
We need that. We need that desperately. Moses is the most interesting case study in Scripture in reference to understanding the presence of God when you read about that. In Exodus 3, Moses is running from the presence of the Lord. Has anybody in here, don't raise your hand, been running from the Lord? Some of us do, even while we come into a church. We're actually running from God. We know God is speaking to our hearts to be faithful, to be obedient in different areas, but we run from Him. Moses did that. In Exodus 33 now, Moses is running to the presence of the Lord. Totally different. He got a taste of who God was. He tasted the goodness of God. He wanted more. He hungered more. And therefore, he was running to God. Where's your spiritual life today? Don't raise your hand. Where's your spiritual life today? God knows and you know. And we need to ask ourselves that. Do you find yourself in the desert of, like Moses in Exodus 3, running from God? Is that where your spiritual life is? Constantly staying away, evading, doing things you know God wants you to do or not do or whatever? We need to ask ourselves that, don't we? Or are we running to God, saying, God, I need your presence. I want your presence. See, we shouldn't only want God in the bad times, right? We should want God when things are going really swell, too. That's a 50s word, young people, swell. Dreamsville, you know, I mean. But anyway, we want the presence of the Lord when things are going good. But when you look at the life of Moses, it could actually be divided into three distinct areas of 40 years apart for the length of his life. The first third of his life, he served as a prince of Egypt and could be epitomized by self-effort and achievement in his life. The middle third of his life, he spent as an assistant shepherd in the Midian desert, typified by solitude and insignificance. Nobody knew who he was. That was his 40 years after he left Egypt. But the final third of his life, how many of us in here getting older? You know, when I see these young people come up here too, I just had to say this. When I see the young people coming, I can't believe how fast they grow up.
Yeah.
It scares me. Because it means I'm getting older. But anyway, it's a beautiful thing to see our young people in church. Hallelujah. And looking really nice today, too. Praise the Lord. But anyway, the final third of his life, the portion most often commemorated through Scripture was characterized by faith. The last part, 40 years of his life, by faith, by humility, and obedience, and the miraculous power of God's presence in his life. Sometimes it takes a while to get there, doesn't it? Moses did. He's a great example to us how we need to conduct our life. And whether you're, like I keep saying, young and old, you need to say that today. The youth are as much part of the church. And by the way, the young people that you see up here doing different things once in a while here, we're doing that on purpose. We want young people to know that they are important to the church. Yeah. God is speaking through young people.
Amen.
If they avail themselves to God, they will see that God's presence will show up in their life, and God will begin to use them in a supernatural way, and God will begin to bring out the giftings that they have within them that He put in them. Yeah. And that's what we want. That's why we want to use our young people in here for little different things and let them know that they can begin to come in and be part of what this church is doing. And more churches need to do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So D.L. Moody said this way, Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. 40 years learning he was a nobody. And 40 years discovering what God can do with an anybody. Isn't that true? I always hear people say, why did God get me in the ministry so late in life? Sometimes it takes a lifetime to where we need to be for Him to use us. It takes time. There's things He's working out. But no matter what that time is, in God's hands, it's a great time. It's a blessing. God desires to use us when we start from the cradle. That's where He begins the work. And He wants to use us all the way up to the grave. And so if you're in here, young or old, look with expectation. How can you use me? We've already experienced young people in the church who already have a gifting of singing and just encouragement and even a smile they walk around. They're full of excitement and joy. God is beginning to do a work in them, as well as the older folk that come in too that thought they were all dried up and wasted. God sees our gray hairs and our lack of hair. And he wants to use us. But after realizing his Hebrew heritage, speaking to Moses among his fellow Jewish slaves, Moses stepped into the spotlight of leadership of Israel. Think about that. It says, and here he was, he killed an Egyptian who was beating a fellow Israeli. It says in Exodus chapter 2, verses 11, 15, if you brought your Bible, how many brought Bibles here today? Not very many, but we should really bring Bibles to church. Don't depend on your iPhone. Depend on the I am. Okay? The iPhone, the iPad, they're all fun. They're all good. Yeah, I know there's Bibles on them and everything. But I tell you, there's something about even if you carry a Bible, even though I know you're reading it on your phone or whatever, people need to see the Bible. The devil wants this hidden. Too many people are using their iPhones today. It means nothing. You could be looking at what you're getting for lunch today. You could be talking about what you're going to be doing tomorrow or next week or whatever on your iPhone. But if you have a Bible, that's what we need. We need our Bibles. The church has gotten away from the Bible. I want to encourage people, carry your Bibles as a testimony. And if somebody said, hey, what do you got a Bible for? Would you like to know? Always ask a question. What do you got a Bible for? Would you really like to know? Because once they say yes, it's yours. And you can say, well, I gave my life to Jesus. And you can begin to witness however that may be. It can be a testimony. It can just be a word of encouragement. It can be anything. But when you carry a Bible, that's a testimony. The world knows what this is. The devil hates what this is. That's why he's tampering with it. But most of all, you and I need to be proud to carry one. That's why we're shipping Bibles all around the world.
Amen.
Every month, we're part of what God is doing in the world, shipping literally dozens and dozens of Bibles. Like the last ones went to Kenya and Pakistan. This church is part of that missionary effort. Bibles that will be here during the tribulation. So we are missionaries for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is Exodus chapter 2, 11, 15. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was growing. When Moses was growing, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he said, spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid from the in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince of and judge over us? Intend thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And this, he sat down by a well. So Moses, here we see, had killed someone, killed a man, and then he ran, took off. Moses took matters into his own hand, and he got ahead of God's timing is what he did. And wound up in the backside of a desert, hiding from Pharaoh, and burnt out spiritually. Have you ever been burnt out spiritually? Well, it is disobedience when we get away from God. It is also disobedience when we get ahead of God, when we don't listen to him. In both cases, we are not walking in tune with God, and that's what we need to do. We need to walk in tune with what the Word of God says. And you want to see an exciting God to serve? When you start obeying him.
Amen. Amen.
People who are going through a lot of horrendous things in their life today that are blaming God for it, blaming others for it, but they're not obedient to the Word of God. And those things catch up with us eventually, and then they wonder why. But I learned as I became a Christian, the more I obey God, the less I have troubles that I see coming my way in the respect of things that I caused. Now, the devil's always going to try to put something on us because the Bible says many are the trials and tribulation of the righteous, but my God shall deliver us from all of them. So I know that I will have many tribulations, but I don't want to create them myself. Do you? Look at the drug addicts today. Look at how they're destroying their lives. Look how many take their lives. The homosexual community, how many? They don't tell you on the news how many are killing themselves or are hopeless. No future. The transgender, they're increasing that now down to, 16 years old now, giving them permission to do that on the news, I heard. Look what's happening to these young people. They're losing hope. They're getting confused. That's what the devil does. He puts a spirit of confusion in the world, and then they wonder, is God real? Is anything real? What's true and what isn't? Well, I tell you what, if you want to keep your foundation strong and solid, stay in the Word.
Amen.
Stay in the Word. I'm going to promote this Bible in this church because this is a Bible. I had a lady from Des Moines, Iowa call me this week, and she said, what type of church you are? And I said, we're a Bible-believing church. See, I'm as narrow-minded as this. I believe it. But I tell you what, if I can avoid situations in my life I learned a long time ago, I'd quit sin, quit sinning and doing things that we know God is desiring us not to do. Exodus 3, Moses had an encounter of a divine kind when God spoke to him from the burning bush. Now, Moses came from an area where the temperatures were around 100 degrees, and a lot of times in 100 degree weather, these bushes and stuff would just burst into flames. He'd see that all the time, but they would be consumed. But this time, he saw a bush that was burning. This bush was different. It was on fire, but it was not consumed. Remember that God does whatever it takes to get our attention. Did you hear that? He does whatever it takes to get our attention from someone who's trying to hide from his presence. So God manifested his presence in an ordinary bush. Exodus chapter 3, verses 3 and 6. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now, when God uses your name twice in a row, there's got to be something pretty important that he's got to tell you. Amen. There's something great there. God has done that before in Scripture, too. And he said, Abraham, Abraham, Saul, Saul. He said, Simon, Simon, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And when he was at the home of Martha, he said, Martha, Martha. He had something to tell her. When you hear your name, God calls your name twice. You better listen. Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of the Father, of God of Abraham, of God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. That's what it'll be like when you and I stand before God. A holy, righteous God. We will not be high-fiving him. We will not say, hey, big man in the sky. We will not be calling him names like that, bringing him down to our level. But we will finally find ourselves coming up to his level of who he truly is. And he is a holy, righteous God. And that's what Moses experienced right there. And many, many people are going to be surprised that are haughty and arrogant today that they think that they can put God down in their level. Won't work. Moses killed a man and he ran. He was running from God. God called Moses out from the bush and Moses immediately made excuses for why he couldn't serve God. See, even God experienced that. He had just seen the miraculous. He saw the burning bush. He saw all the things that God had done. And he wanted to make excuses when God was calling him. He had just heard the voice of God in a manner that few have ever experienced in their life. He was changed man, wasn't he? Nope. It didn't change him. He heard the voice of God, but he wasn't changed. And he could do, is all Moses could do at that point is he would make excuses of everything God was asking him. Excuse number one, Exodus 3:11. Who am I? That's the first excuse Moses gave God. Who am I? Excuse number two in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. What shall I say? What shall I say? Everything God was asking him to do, he had an excuse. Excuse number three. Suppose they will not believe me. Excuse number four. Exodus 4:10. I am slow of speech. He didn't realize that there's no excuse that God could not overcome in his life. Amen? See, God didn't accept any of his excuses because God was able to supply the very thing that he was talking about. There's many today, even within the church, they will not serve God. They got excuses for why they can't do it. God hears those excuses and he knows them. He knows every one of them. But I tell you what, like I tell people, even at the judgment seat of Christ, where Christians are judged, and at the great white throne judgment where the lost are judged, there will be multitudes and multitudes, I believe, attempts of excuses of saying, God, this is why I didn't do this. This is why I didn't want to do this. And God is going to have his word there. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. There will be no excuses in heaven. None. Moses experienced that. But look what God did for him, even in spite of his excuses. God accepted none of his excuses and provided an answer for each one. If you allow it, when you have an excuse pop in your mind, where does that excuse come from many times? It comes from the enemy. He doesn't want you to serve this mighty God. God used Moses more than almost anyone in history when you read this story. It's unbelievable. God laid his hand on Moses and used him to defeat Pharaoh. Think about that. I'm nobody. I can't speak very well. God's saying, so what? I know who you are. And I can fix your speech real quick. You know, I encourage young people as well as older people, whether you can stand up and speak in front of people, sing in front of people, whatever, if that's your heart's desire, but you say, I'm just not good enough at it. If you use that for an excuse, you'll never experience the power of the Holy Spirit. But when you step out in faith and allow God to use you, you will begin to understand that the Holy Spirit will begin to manifest in you as you begin to sing, speak, or do whatever he's called you to do. It's exciting. I was the shyest guy in town. Sure, I'm not the fantastic, charismatic preacher today, but I tell you what, I'm up here.
Amen.
And when I was young, I'd crawl under that chair if somebody come over to our home. That's how shy I was all through school. But God changed that when he came into my heart. And he called me to speak and to witness. And I traveled all around the world and preached the gospel. Never thought I'd ever do that. But it's exciting. God will take care of anything that we deem an excuse. He's got an answer for it. But now we see in Exodus 33, we see a very tired Moses. He was needing refreshing. He needed a touch. He needed the presence of God. He was tired and worn out. That's the way we could get in ministry. Ministry to others is one of the most exhausting things you'll ever do. Did you hear that? Ministry to others is the most exhausting thing that you'll ever do. That's why a lot of people look for excuses. Because it takes work. And it can be discouraging. It can be frustrating. You can't do anything right. Somebody's always wanting to attack you for something. It's never about this. It's about personal things. Frivolous things. Moses was tired. He was worn out. He went through a lot and he needed the presence of God. It will take everything out of you when you minister to others and sometimes leave you dry and in need of spiritual tune-up. To stay refreshed, you need the presence of God. You got to learn to trust in God, to draw close to him when you're ministering the gospel. There's times when people, even in churches like this, they want to give up ministry. They want to quit because that's the easiest thing we can do is quit. But it's the cowardly way out because God says, I'll refresh you. You come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you the ability to go forward. This is where Moses found himself in Exodus 33. He was hungry for the presence of God. Listen to what he says in Exodus 33:14 through 23. My presence, this is God now, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. How many need the rest of God that comes from God? You need rest in your life right now. You've been struggling with things in your life. You need rest. God, get his presence in your life. And he said unto him, if thy presence, Moses speaking, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I love that when Moses said, if your presence isn't with me, I don't want to go. But how many will go into a place where God's presence would not go? But Moses said, I don't even want to go if you're not there. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are up on the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Do you know anybody hopeless today? Going through a trial of their life, you can point at them and say, God says, I know your name. Do you know why God knows your name? He created you.
Yes.
No matter how you got into this world, God is the one who created you. And when you got a name, God's got that name. And he says, I know your name. That's how special you and I are to God. Moses, he encouraged Moses with that. I know your name, Moses. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory, Moses speaking. And he said, I will make all my goodness, God speaking, will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will have mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. We would die if God showed up in his full glory right now. We would literally drop dead if he showed up in his triune glory. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand. And while I pass by, I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Because you can't look at the direct face of God in his full glory. We would die. But when God's mercy and grace upon Moses, he put his hand over Moses' eyes as he walked by. And as he did, he let Moses see his backside. And I believe that backside of Moses as he's walking away, that was the attributes of who God was. His goodness, his mercy, his love, his kindness. That's what Moses was watching as he walked by him. But my face shall not be seen. Moses asked to see the glory of God. And evangelist Jack Taylor, who got on his knees in a hotel during the Southern Baptist Convention in Houston, said, Lord, if I have seen everything there is, then take my life now and let me die. Jack Taylor said the Lord answered that prayer that night and taught him to die to himself and live in the glory of his presence. If you and I die, as the scriptures teach us that, Paul said we're to die to self. When you and I begin to die to self and put away our personal thoughts and trivial things and put them aside and do what God says and become who he says we're to be, we die to ourselves and we become like him, and his glory will begin to show. His presence will begin to move in our homes, in our families, when we do what the word says. When we begin to die to self. Too many of us don't want to die to self. We love ourselves too much, which is a sign, by the way, the last days just before Jesus comes back. We'd be lovers of self. As I said before, look on Facebook, all the people put pictures of themselves of every way you can think of. They love themselves so much. And God said that'll be a sign of the end times, lovers of self. But God says to die to yourself. Die to the things that you want the most, things that will satisfy you but can destroy you. We're to die to those things. We're to put it under the blood. And when we do, the presence of God is going to show up. And that's exactly where Moses was. How I love the honesty of that prayer. He said in Exodus 33:15 again, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses was hungering for the presence of God. He knew he needed God's presence. God was using him. Why no revival in America? Why don't we have revival in America? A wise old evangelist once was asked, why don't we see revival happening in the church in the United States today? The old preacher scratched his chin and thought for a moment. That wasn't me, by the way. The old preacher scratched his chin. Then he said, the reason why we are not living in revival today is because we are content to live without it. And that is the truth. We're in a nation where we've been so blessed. We've been so blessed. If this doesn't work out, we can do this. See, we don't have poor people in America. We're told we do, but we really don't. Go overseas once. I've been overseas in areas where they have zero. They have no doctors, nothing. Nothing. But in America, we've been blessed. So we don't need God. Something happens, we go to the bank. Something happens, we go to the gas station. Something happens, we go to the doctor, whatever it is. But God, we don't need God. Science will take care of us. And that's why God's presence, we got to begin to desire it and to seek after it and to have God intervene. I tell you what, I'd much rather be healed by God than a doctor. Yeah. Thank God for doctors. But I'd much rather have a touch of the Master's hand.
Yes.
I'd rather see manna come out of heaven than have to go to the bank and borrow $10 million. Yes. I'd rather see my shoes not wear out because God's anointing is on my feet and His presence is with me wherever I go. And I can go wherever I want in the world and I don't even have to buy new shoes. Happened. You say that's ridiculous? No, it's not. Read the Word.
Yeah.
Out of 6 million people left Israel that said their shoes did not wear out, and none of them were sick. You know why? Because they had the presence of God with them.
Yes.
He manifested in the clouds and in the fire. He was with them. How much people, how much you and I are missing of God. How much we're missing of God in our world because we're looking everywhere else rather than to the Word of God. Moses was at a point of desperation where he wanted God to be his everything. Are you there today? I like what Sam Storms, a clergyman, puts it. Worship is a feast in which God is the host, the cook, the waiter, and the meal itself. Do you know what that means? Well, if not, you may not be as desperate as Moses was, if you don't know what that means. You may not be hungry enough for his presence, if you don't know what that means. So God heard the heart cry of Moses and passed by and allowed Moses to see a small portion of his presence. Probably, again, his attributes as he walked by, because God's goodness, there's too much. His glory, he couldn't let Moses see it. I don't know how long it took, but Moses was never the same again after that experience. 2 Corinthians 3:7, Moses glowed, the Bible says, with the presence of God. It says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven, speaking of the Ten Commandments in stone, was glorious so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Moses experienced God and His glory showing up on Moses. Today we have the Holy Spirit that when we get born again, when we get truly born again, the power of God comes and lives with us. As God's sanctification begins to move within our lives and making us like Jesus, His glory begins to shine through us. Have you ever had somebody say to you, there's something different about you? You look different. Would you like to know why? Ask him a question. Say, I got Jesus living in me. I'm not perfect. I'm no better than you, but I got Jesus and I love him. I serve him. I'm not ashamed of him. I'll proclaim his name wherever I go. And the glory of God will begin to show. And Moses experienced that as I just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. But I'm just going to quickly go through these as I get close to the end here. about what the Bible says of the presence of God. Number one, the presence of God is everywhere at once. Did you know that God was omnipresent? That means he's everywhere at once. He's here, he's in China, he's around the world, he's in the universe, he's everywhere. He's omnipresent. We got to remember that. We don't have to pray and ask God to be with us because he's here. But we need his manifestation. We need his presence. He's everywhere at all points at one time in his entire creation, and we need to remember that and ponder on that for a second, thinking about who really God is, how big the God is that we serve. We can't run from God. We can in ourselves. We never get away from him. It means you cannot go anywhere away from the presence of God. There's no place you can. Many people try it. Even in Revelation, in the end times, it says they'll run into the mountains and the caves so they fall on them to get away from the presence of the wrath of God. Won't be able to do it. David said in Psalms 139, 7:10, "Whether shall I go from the Spirit, thy Spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell," that's not the burning side of hell, by the way, that's the paradise side. "If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." David cried that out. Those verses are reassurance to you and I, the body of Christ. For those who don't know God, it's a terrifying thing to realize that nothing's hidden from God. Or for even Christians, actually, that think they're hiding. The presence of God is not impersonal either. You hear so many people in the church who refer to the Holy Spirit as it. But he's a he. Listen, I want to talk like Jesus. That's who I want to talk like. How did Jesus talk about the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm going to tell you in John chapter 16, verse 13, 14. This is the master now talking about the Holy Spirit. "Howbeit, when he," the Spirit of God, "he," the Spirit of truth, "is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." The Holy Spirit's not an it, it's a he.
Yes.
It's part of the triune God. He's he. He's involved in every minute detail of our life when we allow him to do it. He won't force himself, but he is real. He's not a ghost. Even though the King James does use the word Holy Ghost, it's the same Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. But today we use the Holy Spirit for the simple reason is that today the enemy has even taken the word ghost.
Yeah.
And it's about spooky things, evil things. But God is spirit. See, the presence of God, he is with us. He will hear us. He will speak to us when we want him to. He'll guide us and he'll lead us when you ask him. Is there something in your life you need help with? Ask the Holy Spirit. If you're born again and you need some direction in your life, you need some wisdom in your life, you need to call upon the Holy Spirit and he will help you. The Bible promises that. Number three, Israel camped in the wilderness around the presence of God. Today, what do we camp around within the church? Do we camp around the presence of God, or are we camping around each other's, camping around the preacher, camping around the denomination that we attend? What are we camping around? Back then, the Jewish people went into the tabernacle, and they camped around the presence of God. We need to do that when we come in and meet corporately. We need to come in here collectively agreeing in unity that when we come in here, we're going to camp around the Holy Spirit. He's here.
Yes.
He's here. We're coming together as the body of Christ. That's what we need today. We should go home talking about the presence of the Lord and not the personality of the pastor.
Yeah.
And the team or the persons or the singing. We shouldn't go home thinking about that. Oh, weren't they great? Weren't they? And they may be. Because they get their gifting from God. Everything we do, it comes from God. When we're used for his glory. But when we go home, wouldn't it have gotten nice to get in your car today and you drive home and say, boy, wasn't the presence of God strong today? See, I came from when I first got saved, when the Jesus movement, when my wife and I got saved, we attended a little Bible church, and I've told this many times, in a church just like this one, smaller church, A lot of great people in there, a lot of older congregation, just like this one, too, and young people started attending. But we attended there, and sometimes when the preacher would begin to preach, out of nowhere, all of a sudden the power of God would begin to sovereignly move in that congregation. And we would watch tears flow from people sitting by themselves, and pretty soon people would get out of their seat, come to the altar, and bow on their knees before Almighty God because His presence was so strong. And I watched people that had war together in a church that hated each other almost come together and hug each other with tears flowing because the love of God becomes so strong within the church. And God healed that hurt, that whatever caused it. And the dismay and the hopelessness even within the church. God healed all that because His presence began to show up. We watched that many times in our early years. And it's an awesome thing, people. Many today have never experienced that. Even some of the older people today that got saved, they've never experienced the true presence of God. But if you ever sit in it, you'll always want it. It's an awesome thing. We had young people that would come up and they go flat on their face because of power of God. They lay there weeping and praising God. If you've never experienced that, you think the world's got fun? Have the presence of God show up.
Yeah.
Have the presence of God show up. I wouldn't have to beg anybody, do any marketing or anything, because people will go where the presence of God is, and that's what we need in the church today. I got to keep going. I tell you, there's so much here, and I know you don't want me to stay here till 5. There's a difference between the Old and the New Testament, by the way, concerning God's presence. Back then, God would come and go. The Holy Spirit would come and go in people's lives. Judges 16:20, the Spirit of God departed from Samson. 1 Samuel 16:14, the Spirit of God departed from Saul. Psalms 51:11, and David committed adultery and covered it up. And he begged God, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. But today we have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That will literally come and live within us. Does that mean that we get to sin and think we're hiding it or God doesn't care and He's going to forget about it?
Yeah.
No. We have responsibility. The real issue for our day is this great question. Is the Holy Spirit just a resident in your heart or a guide and a helper? The presence of God can be stifled, and I preached on that not long ago too. He can be stifled in Ephesians. The believers, you and I can grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Christians can also quench the Holy Spirit's power in their lives in the church, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be grieved when He sees people of God playing church. When He sees us playing church, walking in disobedience, He sees that. We're grieving Him. Hiding unconfessed sin with no heart of repentance. Carrying on church as usual like nothing's going on. But God sees. How often do you see great worship time and anointed sermon go astray because of the unconfessed sin in the life of the person? You can come in here with needs in your life and everything, but you're determined to live in that sin. You don't hear the preacher. You don't sense anything else going on because you're not going to change. You're saying, I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. And we need to know that quenches the Spirit. The person walks away wondering why nothing happened. Maybe the Holy Spirit was grieved and quenched, we should ask ourselves. A pastor told of counseling a young wife who heard from her husband that he had someone else and that he had been secretly having an affair for a long time. When she heard these words, the brokenhearted wife fell on the floor in the pastor's study on her face, crying uncontrollably because her heart had been grieved. What a picture. What a picture of how the Holy Spirit must feel Sunday after Sunday when we gather, singing the right songs, saying the right words, and walking away empty-handed. We do the same thing with God. Are you doing anything in your life right now that grieves the Holy Spirit? Don't raise your hand. Do you see the power of God's presence in your life? Do you? If not, is there a secret sin in your life that you must confess? And that doesn't always have to be one of those protruding ones out there, like drunkenness and homosexuality. It doesn't always have, it can be the secret little sin of gossip. Respecter of persons. Cheating. Little things that we think nobody sees but us and God. That's why we ask, Lord, examine me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Do you see the power of God's presence in your life? God loves us regardless, but He uses us when we are clean. And we need His help to be clean. I do. I'm not perfect either. There's times when I got to say, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to think that thought or do this or that. It's got to be daily almost with us. And then number six, there's a difference between the indwelling presence and the manifest presence of God. See, the Spirit of God indwells every true born-again believer in the church. Did you hear what I just said? I said the Spirit of God indwells every true born-again believer in the church, not Christ followers.
That's right.
I'm a Christ follower. Are you born again? There's a lot of Christ followers walking around who follow Christ but will leave Christ in a nanosecond because they've never been truly born again. And the church quit preaching on being born again. Jesus said, ye must be born again, to Nicodemus, a religious leader. Twice he said it in the same chapter, ye must be born again before you can enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say you must be a Christ follower. He said you must be born again. Just because the church gathered in one place and dwelt by the Spirit does not mean that they are in one accord as you and I. We need to be in unity. That's why I preached on unity not long ago. You and I need to be in unity for the presence of God to manifest. You got prayers out to God right now, many of us in here, for things in our life, and you're not seeing results yet. You will come into agreement, and you'll begin to see the presence of God in your life. We hear the clarion call of God to His people in the Old Testament. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, speaking of us as a nation, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need our land healed.
Yes.
We need our homes healed.
Yes.
We need our own hearts healed.
Yes.
We need to call upon God, and we got to do the very thing that we're not doing much of, is praying and seeking the presence of God. When we do what God says to do, we will have a whole different lifestyle. Our children will be different. Our parents will be different. Our relatives will be different. Our neighbors will be different. When the power of God begins to move and heals this land, we need America healed.
Yes.
But it takes you and I. He isn't calling out the world. He's calling His people. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. We got too much pride in the church. We think too much of ourselves, even within the church. We need to repent of that and humble ourselves and come before God and say, God, I'm all yours. I believe most Christians and most church leaders spend most of their lives knowing only the indwelling, just the indwelling presence of God, and rarely ever seeing the manifest presence of God. We know He's here, but we never see His manifestation. It's because we're too full of ourselves. We need to die to ourselves. We need to humble ourselves, swallow our pride, get rid of sin out of our lives, and do what God says to do here in Chronicles, and it'll affect our personal life, our homes, and everything else. When we meet the conditions of Scripture, the cloud of God's glory surrounds the church and manifests and unleashes. The mighty power of God will be unleashed within this church, other churches, within our land, and it will fill people with the Holy Spirit. He will deliver, He will save, He will heal when the glory of God begins to manifest within a church.
Amen.
To a point where a preacher won't even have to give an altar call. Because when you and I come together in unity and agreeing with the power and presence of God, we will watch God move and touch a heart and life, and they will run to the altar. We'll see people healed. I'd love to see people come in with wheelchairs, crippled up where we know we can visibly see that they can't even get out, and all of a sudden they jump out of their chair and they're running around the church. That's just not hoping. That's a fact of life with God. He's the God of the impossible. We're commanded to seek God's presence. Have you ever sought God's presence in the privacy of your car, your home, wherever? There are people who believe that we are not to seek God's presence because he's in us. That's not correct. It's correct that he's in us, but we don't have to seek him. He's there. But I tell you what, they forgot to read James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to me. What's God saying? He said, you draw near to me, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God said that. Don't throw tomatoes at me. We're to draw. We're to take the effort and draw close to him, seeking his presence. And he says, when you do, I'm going to show up. If you really want him, he will show up. How many really want to see the presence of God?
Yes.
I'm going to have to cut this thing down short here. It's fun looking at the stuff of God here. I tell you what, I get hungry for it. I get thirsty for it. The more you see it, the more you want to. We know the story about old Lucifer, how he got kicked out of heaven. We know about him. He's the one, by the way, he's the one who is trying to destroy what God is doing. He's the one with the deepest, who attacks the deepest doctrines of God's presence to destroy it. And the truth about worship, when we worship here, come in here, did you know that Satan literally hates worship? He hates the singers, he hates the band, he hates the worship leaders, he hates it with a passion. He's jealous, because he had that one at one time. And he sees us praising God. That's why the worship leader, Amy, and the worship team, the singing, the choir, thank God for these people that come up and sing up here. God sees that. Satan hates it. But they're singing for Jesus. That's why I want to encourage people, and Amy does, and the rest of them, that when they're worshiping, it can be discouraging to them. They should never look at you for their encouragement anyway. They should look to God, amen, or look to me. But when we're worshiping God, we should be able to look up and at least praise God and give some attitude of motion and saying, Lord, praise God, looking and worshiping God together in unity. Satan hates that. Because believe me, in heaven, nobody's going to be standing around like this. Ain't going to happen. I read what's going to happen. You don't even bring earplugs. So I'm going to finish quickly on here in conclusion. This is important. Do I know that Christ lives in me? Do I know that the Lord is everywhere I go and sees all I do? Is there anything that I think I'm hiding from the presence of God? We need to ask ourselves that. If you say yes, you need to repent from your sin, from your worry, from your fear, from your unforgiveness, from your bitterness, from your anger and your hurt to the Lord right now. You need to do that. I want to just finish off reading these quickly to show you what happens when the presence of God shows up. And this is throughout the age of the church. There have been many visitations from God, by the way. It says, in the Welsh revival, in the presence of God came down so that the entire township were converted and the mines were shut down because the horses no longer understood the workers who quit swearing with profanity. That was the presence of God that showed up. In the Great Awakening, if the presence of God came down so powerfully that men gripped their pews until their knuckles were white in fear of his holiness. That's what the presence of God will do. In the Cane Ridge Revival, the presence of God came down in such a way that hundreds of people lay on the ground, prostrate, and quaking under the control of the Holy Spirit. In prayer, the prayer revival, the presence of God came down so that the entire towns were emptied for prayer meetings. People were going to prayer meetings. Oh, that we would see that. In the holiness revival, in the presence of God swept from the north to the south on the eastern seaboard, bringing repentance in our land. People were repenting and getting out of sin. The last one, the Azusa Revival. The presence of God came down in a way where people wept and spoke in heavenly language until missionaries were launched into every continent around the world. We sent them out. There was such a presence of God in the meetings that people got burdened for the world and they went out spreading the gospel throughout the world because of the presence of God. We need to seek the manifestation of the presence of God. We have the blessing of His abiding presence. He's omnipresent. We need His manifest presence. We must not be content with what we have. We must seek more. Seek the presence of God. Honor the presence of God. And embrace the presence of God. Let's all stand, please.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I couldn't have said that in a 20-minute sermonette. With every head bowed and eye closed, this is so vitally important. This is the most important thing because, see, God's here right now reading your email. He knows all about you. And you're in here for a purpose and a reason. You may not think, you say, well, I'm the one that decided. No, it was the Holy Spirit that said, you come in here. Whether you're young or old, don't look at anybody else. It means nothing. When I got saved young, I could care less what other people thought. I wanted Jesus. If you're in here this morning, say, Pastor, if I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven because I don't know if I'm born again or not. What Jesus told me. Jesus said that all have sinned and come short of the glory. You can't get there on your own goodness. Our righteousness is a stench to God. It's a filthy rag. Everything that you think is good in your life that you say, God, I've done all these good things in my life. I'm a good person. I'm nice. God's saying that stench in my nose. You need the righteousness of Christ. It's appointed on man once to die, then the judgment. It comes fast. And today, people, you and I can both agree, we're watching young people die every day, just like older people. It isn't just older people that die. Listen to the advertisement on St. Jude commercial with the cancer hospital for children. How many die there? I want to ask now with every eye closed, head bowed right now, is there anybody in here would say, Pastor, I need to know that I'm going to heaven when I die, or should Jesus come back? Just lift up your hand. Say, I need to know it, Pastor. Is there anybody that come in here this morning? I don't save people. God does. I only put the invitation out. It's not my responsibility to save you. It's God's. But if you're fighting against the Holy Spirit, the next time you come to a church service and hear another altar call, your heart will become hardened. And you won't hear it. You'll hear it less and less and less. You take that risk. So if you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm asking you to come forward. Jesus said, whosoever will, I in no wise cast out. If you need Jesus, I'm asking you right now, just step out and come and stand up in front of me. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. We're going to pray with you. Is there anyone this morning? I'm just going to give the Holy Spirit just a moment of time. There's some people right now in here with a fluttering heart saying, I know I should step out, but I don't want people to know. Well, then you have a problem there. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my God in heaven. If you know you need Jesus to be saved to get to heaven, just step out right now. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, you're here this morning. I know that you have a plan and a purpose in this church, at Crossfire, this ministry. I know the people that you brought in here today, no matter the imperfect way it may have been preached or said or whatever, your word will come into their hearts or your Holy Spirit, for your word will never return void. It will accomplish what it was sent to do. And Lord, I pray over this congregation this morning, Father, that you will supernaturally do a work within us as the body, collectively and individually. Lord, that as the days go forward, we're going to see greater things happening within churches like this one and at people in their homes, watching on Facebook, they can't get out, you're going to honor them and you're going to bless their homes and do a supernatural work just like you are here. Lord, help us to come back next time with great expectation for what you're going to be doing in our hearts and lives. Lord, deal with hearts right now that are holding back. Holy Spirit, touch them, soften their hearts, and let them know. Jesus said, now is the day of salvation. Because he knows that anything can happen in this old fallen world. We can walk out and get killed. We can drop dead. Jesus knows the importance of salvation. That's why he came to earth and died upon a cross. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did. Touch every home here, Lord. Move upon them supernaturally. Meet all their needs, Father, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, domestically, whatever the need is, Lord. If there's coldness in their heart, Lord, let the fire of your Holy Spirit begin to warm them, that they will say, did not our hearts even burn within us as your presence was there? So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray it, and everybody said, amen. Look at someone this morning before you leave and say, I desire the presence of God. Shake somebody's hand.
A reminder for those that can volunteer and help out to please stay after for a short moment here. And also downstairs for the silent auction, don't miss out on some great finds.